You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
We are having our post-Thanksgiving, what's the good word I'm looking for here?
Crash.
Coma.
We're trying to not have a coma.
I am totally in coma mode right now. I've been eating pie for breakfast, and then I got to wake up this morning and actually do work.
I am so sick of turkey on everything.
Everything, everywhere. This is episode 224 of the IT and the D Show. We have a stacked lineup. We have Justin Koo in the house. He's a professor of analytics from Lawrence Tech University. Going to talk about big data, talk about kind of with the cyber money going on, all the sales of what marketing is doing right now with your data, and it's kind of crazy.
It always is.
It's a good talk. And then we have Nathan and Tim here from Black Sands. They are a secure connection as a service company. We're going to be talking about, again, how, the way people are securing their data and the kind of the next wave of
data security. Or should be securing their data.
Or the way they should be, right. And we have a phenomenal story how he antiquated why someone should outsource.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com. For more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
So what happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly.
Come on.
The prize. Get the hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the show.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka, Sweep the Leg, listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science. So, Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
Are we at a break yet?
Hey, this is Zach McGowan from Planet Earth. You're listening to IT and the D Show.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds! Nerds!
Nerds. Nerds.
Nerds!
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump and Pump. The IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear? I'm in my underwear. Here, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey. I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear. That's a fact.
Hey, everybody. This is Tony Todd. What's happening? You may know me from Candyman, The Rock, Sushi Girls, Zoom, Night of the Living Dead, a lot of pop culture media madness. Anyway, you're listening to IT in the D Show Business.
I'm totally into Dave, but not so much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, a Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat steak.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guys! Ho!
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome Welcome. Thank you for listening. If you want a show where Dave is going to correct me for screwing up my words all show, this is going to be the one because I'm a completely in a turkey coma. This is episode 224 of
That never happened.
The
Bob. IT. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'll go through what I ate in a minute. This is episode 224 of the IT and the D Show, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful.
Wait, which episode?
224.
Okay. Just checking.
Don't. You can't correct me on stuff I do right. You dirty. We're in Studio One here in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy. That is Dave the Geek. Nuri the FNG is in the house. Randy, I do the Twitters. Walker is sick today. Feel better, Randy. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you and Ian can help us out on the Twitters. Find us online, itinthed.com, where you can give a like on all the socials and subscribe to us everywhere. Fine podcasts are sold.
I had everything all pulled up. I swear to God. Give me just a second. So here's the deal. Wi-Fi is something you don't really think about until you don't have it or it's not working properly. I think we can all agree with that. The video is buffering, Wi-Fi dead zones when you roam around the house, too many devices connecting and slowing everything down.
Dad, Netflix doesn't work.
I can't get my show and my YouTube. I can't watch my YouTuber, Dan TDQ, whatever his name is.
Buy tickets for that, $70. Like,
you did not buy tickets
No,
for that.
I did not.
I do not encourage that behavior.
We're in the wrong business.
Exactly. So with the holidays, there's always more people home connecting their devices and all fighting for Wi-Fi. But when was the last time you upgraded your Wi-Fi at home? So if you want better Wi-Fi everywhere, check out an award-winning Orbi Wi-Fi system from Netgear. Orbi is the simplest and smartest way to get super strong, fast Wi-Fi in every corner of your home. One Wi-Fi network that's easy to install. You can set it up in minutes, and then you and the family will be enjoying faster and more reliable whole home Wi-Fi from your basement to your backyard. So what are you waiting for? Here's what you're going to do. You're going to change your Wi-Fi world and get an Orbi, that's O-R-B-I, Wi-Fi system from Netgear for better Wi-Fi everywhere. Just visit netgear.com/Orbi. That's netgear.com/ORBI.
Every time I hear Orbi.
It's pretty cute.
I want to do their commercials. I know, it's like a cute little.
Are those the little things that are in the new Star Wars movie?
No,
those are porgs.
Porgs, yeah.
Porgs, yeah, not a yeah.
Yeah, no. So Thanksgiving, like literally I've eaten pie the last 4 days for breakfast.
I'm bored.
What's your most creative, like, turkey thing this
year? Oh, you served up a softball, Neri. Thank you. So I make – every year I make Thanksgiving waffles. And
the day after Thanksgiving.
Day waffles. After Thanksgiving. Yes. See, that's correct. Start digging every time you correct me today.
Where'd you get your pies from?
Anschatz.
Akitz.
No, it's Anschatz. It's the way it's spelled. That's the way I but what I do is I take equal parts mashed potatoes and stuffing.
Right.
Then I got like some leftover onions and celery from the stuffing mix.
Okay.
Right. Maybe some cranberries from the stuffing mix also.
Sounds good so far.
Then I take some corn that's left over, maybe a little bit of green bean casserole. Then I dice up the ham and the turkey and the sausage, and I mix it all together in a big bowl, and I make giant softballs out of it. And then I put it in the waffle iron and I burn the hell out of them.
Holy shit.
And then I dump gravy on it.
Hashtag this is why I'm fat.
Yeah, totally. This is why I'm fat.
Diabetes.
It's the one thing I look forward to eating all year, and it's the best thing. Like, you can't eat it like tomorrow. It has to be the day after Thanksgiving.
Huh.
When it's all still fresh?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's a symbolism.
Okay, you can do that with almost any holiday. So like 4th of July, it's like every bratwurst and hamburger that fall on the ground.
Dice it up. Waffle iron.
Gravy.
Sauce. Yeah.
We made this delicious Eggs Benedict, and I took the turkey, put like liquid smoke in it and beer, and I cooked it down, put it on, and then we poached eggs, made homemade hollandaise sauce. I was out of this damn world. Jerry and I had so much fun cooking last night.
I saw it on Facebook. I'm like,
oh my God, it looked so good.
But yeah,
good game.
I played Battlefront 2. I went and saw Justice League. I finished The Punisher. I finished Stranger Things. I figure, like, media wise, I was the most productive I've ever been.
This is the most productive.
I'm more prepared for any show that we've ever done in history.
Seriously though, but I want to get into this real quick.
So let's start Stranger Things because I've seen that, so we're good there.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I mean, you can't not make. For anyone that goes meh to that, like, come on, man.
I think the only thing that got a meh was episode 7. When they did the little sidebar with 11, with 8.
Oh, I thought, no, my kid was going nuts, going, oh, it's Suicide Squad.
And see, I think that's the setup for her to be a bad guy for season 3.
Oh, which would be fine. But she was like, oh my God, that's the Gator guy, and that's the Joker, and that's Harley Quinn. And I go, just watch the damn show and enjoy it. now, and that brings me to another point about this is I haven't seen anybody bitch about The Punisher because you can't. It was about as perfect of a show as anyone will ever write.
Are you getting off Stranger Things? Because I want to ask you a question.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Okay, so did you catch? There's a whole recurring theme between season one and season two. Like, I don't know if you noticed the wristband that Hooper is, or Hopper is wearing, is the hairband that his daughter wore, who died during season one. Didn't die, but you know she died during season one. And that's the and then Eleven is wearing it at the snowball. So they're trying to like weave in between one and two. So it really became apparent when the scientist, I'm blanking on his name,
Paul Reiser,
when he was dying, when he was all jacked. Well, he wasn't dying because he'd leave, but when he was all jacked up in the hallway, he's sitting in the exact same spot in the exact same hallway that Hopper is sitting, crying over his daughter's death. So, like, the hallway is the same, the railing is the same, because it's a really weird railing.
Did you read that, or did you catch that?
No, I caught that, and so that's one of the.
What's wrong with you?
I told you how many times I'm one twitch away from being either Sheldon or a supervillain.
Seriously.
So, but like, all right. So, did Hopper's kid die at the lab, and why was Hopper's kid at the lab?
Oh, interesting theory.
So I did catch an interview where somebody asked him about it, and he was like, well, I'm just saying there aren't a whole lot of random things that just appear in the show. I have to give them all the props in the world, like the stupid Ghostbusters certificate of paranormal excellence that's on the kid's wall.
Dude, just when they went
is to, the no, one they, that was sent out by the Ghostbusters fan club in 1984.
So when they went to the gas station or the liquor store or whatever with the Suicide Squad kids?
Yeah.
And like Bo is even mentioned, because I do not pay attention to that much detail. You know, I'm just watching it to watch.
Right.
Like, it's dumb time for me. She goes, oh my God, there's Tab. And then we start looking at all the brands, and I go, God, they nailed it. Like,
oh yeah.
They spared
no
detail.
Oh, there's no anachronisms. There's no, like, right. They are insane about keeping
there's
that
no blue M&Ms in 1984.
Right, there's no lime green Legos. And, no, I mean, they kill it. I give them all the credit in the world for keeping that shit together like they do.
No, it was, you can't do much better than
no,
that.
No, it's amazing. So, yeah, now, of course, we have to wait another year for season three.
And then you forget about everything.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I mean, I loved, I thought they wrapped it all up nicely at the end. I thought
the end was a super cop-out. Like, the snowball was great. That was an amazing scene. But then that last second where they flipped it around.
The Every Breath You Take, I'll Be Watching You?
I think it's a cheap way to set up season three.
It's a Friday the 13th ending with the hand coming out of the ground.
Yeah, like, totally. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's been done since the dawn of time.
I wanted more.
Well, you'll get more in season three.
Right.
But I want to rant a little bit on Justice League.
Okay.
And I went and took my kids, and I went to Imagine in Rochester.
Did you meh?
No, I didn't meh. But I'll be honest with you, the movie going experience, I went in the Dolby, is it the new, whatever
Atmos?
It's called? The Atmos, what is it called?
Atmos, ATMOS, is that it?
Yeah, whatever the cool theater was.
Tickets are going to be $20 at most?
No. No. They give you the big recliner chairs. Like, I don't know how we didn't fall asleep. Like, it's like the movie experience compared to when I went to Showcase Cinema as a kid.
Right.
It's completely like 180. Like, it's actually, you know, the theater's awesome.
Well, it's because they know that there's people like me who hate going to movie theaters.
Right. But I'll be honest, like, I don't know how, like, I get everyone complained about the CGI, right? And to me, that doesn't make any sense, because you just watched Kong Skull Island and you want to see Pacific Rim 2, and you're going to bitch about CGI. And to me, that was the last thing I complained. There was nothing to complain about. It's one of those
CGI, complain about Tarkin in Rogue One. That's you can complain about that all day long, and I will support you.
I'm kind of okay with that too. But like my kid Med coming out of it, my 13-year-old, and I said, listen, we're gonna go home right now and we're gonna watch 1978 Superman. And while that was an epic movie of grand proportions, and we were geeked out over it.
You can ask yourself, you know, while Lois Lane falls off the building and Superman puts his arms out to catch her and stops her immediately, how does he not cut her in three pieces?
Well, you know, I love plotting those kind of, questions. But then you get to, like, Superman 3 and you're like, who actually hired Richard Pryor? Was that Superman
2?
Oh,
that was amazing. That was one of the greatest crossovers ever, was Richard Pryor in a Superman movie. Right. I told him he should have made his daughter sit and watch Superman 4, the 2-hour commercial for solar energy.
Right. Oh. But then I go, here's the thing, like, we grew up with Aquaman, who was ridiculous.
The joke.
In every way.
Yeah, you should have made her watch the Super Friends.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, at the Legion of Doom.
We did that when we got home.
Wonder and I said, Twins, anyone?
Yeah. I go, that's Aquaman. He rides a purple seahorse and he talks to fish. And I go, and the funny thing is they made fun of him in the movie, which was, I heard you talk to fish. And I'm like, I'm the only one that went in the theater. But I mean, you made Wonder Woman awesome. Again, watch Linda Carter Wonder Woman.
Right.
Like, The Flash was actually pretty cool. It's a great. And Cyborg, I didn't know nothing about him because I didn't read the comics, right? I call him Fancy RoboCop, but dude, that was an awesome character. Like, and the movie was great. It was exactly what it, and everyone bitching about it. They want to be first. Me and Dave and I bitched about it offline. We're like, you know, they want to be first and be the first ones to say, icky, ew, stinky.
Because it's cool to hate things and not be man.
And then everybody jumps on board and says, I hate it too. And we're in a club now because we hate stuff. And it's like, you can't. You just can't. They, you know, and I know it's not the easiest thing to do to put these, you know, these movies.
Let them be what they are.
Right.
They don't. Well, and like I said, honestly, like my biggest bitch about the whole superhero thing, the only bitch I really have about it is that to me it's turning into Lost, you know, that TV show that was on a while ago. Where it was.
Thanks, okay, so what Lost was.
Well, you know, it's us. We could have been resetting back to Land of the Lost, the old crappy show with Sleestaks. No, but so it wasn't good enough to watch the show. You had to go to their website and watch stuff, and you had to find this hidden YouTube video and figure stuff out, and you had to read this magazine to get this clue and all that crap.
And the 4chan crew had to figure out the codes.
Right. And so, like, I'm sick. Like, all I want to do is watch. I just want to watch the movies and turn my brain off. Don't tell me that in order to understand what the hell's going on in the movie, I got to watch, what, 7 Netflix series now and like 8 on CW, and I got
a comic book series dating back to 64.
Right.
And get a case of Pepsi.
And a secret decoder ring. Yeah, and like, and a 24-pack of Mountain Dew to get the decoder ring. It's just, I want to watch the movies. I hate the entire movie theater going experience because I friggin' hate people. And it's like, if it could just be me in the theater, I'd be fine. Or like the guys. If it was just the guys in the theater, I'd be fine. It's everybody else. It's the great paradox of my life.
I didn't hear a single person at Justice League.
Run a networking group of 8,000 people. Yeah. Friggin' hate people.
No, it was this theater was so loud and jacked up, like the bass, like it was immersive sound. It was
like 40 speakers in an Atmos configuration.
Yeah, the
crazy.
Whole theater's covered with speakers because I was trying to look around before the show.
But see, the moment I hear a cell phone ringing in a theater, I get pissed off. I'm like, that's it. That just like that sets me in a downward spiral for the rest of the movie.
I didn't hear a thing.
Nice.
I get that, but I always had the urge to throw my popcorn on the ground like the old days.
Man.
Just to be like, my wife's like, oh, you're not supposed to do that anymore.
Now we got to clean up after ourselves.
Every movie theater I left when I was young, you know, you stuck to the floor most of the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Making up the little, linoleum tile slant upwards with all the coke on your feet.
Yeah, you just assumed that like there was a giant set of floodgates behind the back row that they opened up and like scrubbing bubbles and water flowed down to a drain at the bottom. Who knew?
And a Roomba.
Right. Hey, let's dive into some tech stuff.
Some actual topics?
This is a tech show, yeah.
I guess we can. We're only 20 minutes in. Why not?
One of our jokes always is, hey, Google, don't you dare track where I am, but don't you dare turn off maps.
Right.
It's like the greatest.
I need
hypocrisy.
My navigation system, but don't you dare track me.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Google, they admit like that someone caught them tracking user location data when the setting was turned off.
Yep. Yeah, they were pinging off the Wi-Fi towers.
And I'm not shocked.
Not the white cell towers.
And I'm not shocked.
I'm not.
Which, when you triangulate 3 cell phone towers, that's what, 20 feet?
No.
25
feet? 3 meters. No, I thought it was 3 meters.
I thought it was 3 feet.
Either one.
Yeah.
9 feet, 3 feet, same thing.
Yeah. 220, 221.
Whatever it takes, by the way.
Right. Ah, thank you. Yay.
It's still finding your house. So basically, and I think we've always known this, right? Your cell phone's going to track you whether or not you're telling it it's okay to do so. And then, so what? Burner phones? Is that it? If I don't want to be tracked?
Pretty much. Well, but even those are going to be triangulated.
Mm. Oh, yeah. You need that cellophane bag of chips to just drop your phone in.
Just a Faraday cage,
right,
Ooh, a portable Faraday cage?
Exactly. I'm 3 blocks away from the strip club. Time to put my phone in the Faraday cage.
You could have gone to any one of these locations.
It says in this article here is the safest way to avoid being tracked at all is stick to burner phones.
Because then it's not tied to you. Because, I mean, that's not the whole point is that it's the EIN of your phone. Or
you don't know who the hell it is. Why bother?
Yeah.
You're doing the prepayment.
Yeah.
Right?
It's fluff data at that point.
Right, exactly. That'd be impossible because you know how many wall chargers I have as it is from old phones? Just to have burner phones now?
Oh, I have a drawer. Like an entire drawer.
Burner phones?
Of chargers. Burner phones,
I would have like, I'd have to open a new wing.
But like the one that gets me, and I don't think anyone, like we talk about these big breaches all the time. It's like no one stopped going to Wendy's. No one stopped going to Target. No one stopped going to Home Depot.
That's right. Yeah. Target stock is up.
Right. Right. Here you have
Tylenol Uber. Killed people. Their stock went up.
Here you have Uber, which probably committed the biggest atrocity of them all, where not only did they get
was
hacked,
there a breach?
The CEO withheld it for, was it 2 or 3 months?
Paid them off.
And they paid hackers to delete said data breach.
I'm going to say this is not the current CEO, which is a brand new CEO coming in, and I feel really bad for him because he's basically inheriting a pile of shit.
Yeah, 57 million customers and drivers.
And 600,000 drivers with their driver's license numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
Has it slowed anything down, though?
No. No one's going to not use it.
Well, it just came out.
I need my rod, damn it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Use Lyft. The thing that was really interesting to me is that they were compromised because someone checked in credentials into GitHub. There are websites that are devoted to scrolling through
this
GitHub.
This is the third story?
At least.
We've had in the past couple months? That this is the source of the breach?
I've seen it in the last 5 years personally, not because I personally have checked my GitHub.
Dude, what is wrong with people?
I don't get it. Like, literally, I can't. But no one's going to stop using it unless those fines become, you know, $100 million, right? Unless people's privacy and data have a value to them, which apparently now it doesn't in today's society. But it's kind of like when our football players going to stop spearing with their helmet when they start losing game checks,
right?
And until these companies start losing massive game checks, no one's going to care.
I feel we would be remiss if we didn't at least skim across the surface of net neutrality.
Yeah, we have to
number one. If you don't think that all of these ISPs and providers are spending shit tons of money to convince you that it's okay if you get rid of net neutrality because they see dollar signs at the end of that train.
Don't worry. We're not going to do it. Come on.
But yeah, we're not going to do it, except that Comcast has already come out and said, well, you know, if net neutrality goes away, we're probably going to implement this fast lane plan where if you actually want to – keep your unlimited data and high speeds and unfettered access.
It's freemium.
Freemium. See?
Yeah.
But I love too that Ajit Pai, the chairman of the FCC, has basically been taunted all week now. So they put up a sign across from his house that says mentions his children's names and says,
"Oh, that's a good idea.
They will come to know the truth. Your dad murdered democracy in cold blood."
Wow.
And he's like,
wow.
Please stop harassing me at home. I'm like, but this guy is like, there are so many reasons to hate this guy. First of all, there was a cap put on calls to prisons or prisoners making phone calls out. It was capped to 11 cents a minute. Previously, it was $14 a minute. He struck that down in June or July. So basically, calls are back up to $14 a minute for prisoners. And that was within just a few months of him being in office.
Wait a minute. If you're in jail and you make a phone call, it's $14 a minute.
There are two companies.
Is that to sex lines?
No.
Or like just in general?
There are two companies who control most of that, and they've been just gouging prisoners on this. And the FCC put a cap to that. And then Ajit Pai just knocked them all down this year.
Well, yeah, because they're like, oh, well, they would never do that here. I'm like, well, but remember when they started throttling Netflix and it proved that they were throttling Netflix,
right,
and they had to pay a fine?
Right.
And remember when they said they weren't capping and then people proved that they were capping and they had to pay a fine? And remember when – like people are like I don't understand how people do not get that, yes, they will absolutely screw you out of every penny that they can as soon as they can. And yes, it will probably be that a la carte menu kind of thing that's been floating. Oh, you want social? Oh, if you want to post on Twitter, you know, it's $8 a day for a day pass, or you can do this for 30 days.
I mean, they're all colluding. Is it going to get to the point where it's priced out like gas, where it's just, you know.
So this week, Tom Walker, who was the previous chairman of the FCC, who, may I say, grew an amazing set of testicles toward the end of his time as
well. Yeah, because it's amazing what happens when you know you're on your way out.
It was it was amazing. He drafted these rules and basically said that if you like your cable company, you'll love what it does for the internet. Which is my favorite quote this week. But you too at home listening, December 14th is when they're going to make the vote. Battleforthenet.com will give you some resources, help you contact your congressperson, and hopefully do something. This will impact you. Get off your ass and do something about
people,
it.
People, it's going to – okay, let me –
how many more times am I going to email my congressman because I've already done it like six times.
No. I'm going to break this down really simply. Folks, this will break your porn.
My porn?
That's what you need to be aware of. This will break your porn.
What, the internet?
Did you know that Pornhub opened a new shop in New York?
That's actually on the list.
Pornhub
opened a brick and mortar store.
They're divesting. They're trying to figure out how to get
around.
Just
a couple months.
Yeah, they're trying to diversify a bit.
No, just in case. They're foreseeing. Because if net neutrality takes place, then Pornhub isn't going to be the Pornhub we all know.
Exactly.
And heard about. By some guy at the gym.
So I heard. Yeah. Some guy, yeah.
Well, it's not your mom and pop Pornhub.
Well, hey, you know, it still makes me laugh that
Actually, it is if you went there lately.
I still want to know who decided that, like, Pornhub needed a share to Facebook button. Like, who's sitting there watching a porn on Pornhub and says, you know who would really enjoy this? My friends, family, and coworkers would really get a kick out of this one. And my nieces and nephews, grandma would really love this one I'm watching right now.
I've seen a couple wrestling guys have shared them in the past.
Why does that not surprise me?
Didn't surprise me either. But hey, we're up on the bottom of the hour. That was a quick half hour. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with Justin Koo. He's a professor of analytics at Lawrence Technical University, and this is the IT in the D show.
And we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for hanging out with us. This is episode 224, segment 2 of the IT in the D show, broadcasting live here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit. In beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan, this is Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Randy, I do the Tutors Walker, is sick and out of the studio. Him and Ian.
Thank you for not bringing your germs here.
Exactly. You had enough germs already. Catch us online, itinthed.com. Mark your calendars. We did not talk about this. Our annual Christmas party is December the 7th. From 5 to 8 at Falling Down Beer Company.
Bob says I'm not allowed to make any Pearl Harbor jokes, so I'm not.
You're like the only one that knows it's Pearl Harbor Day. When the movies are on all day on HBO, then we'll go, wait, is today
That's
Pearl
right,
Harbor
1941
Day?
Will be on loop on right, CMC. Right. It'll be on.
But hey, it's December 7th. We are raising – it's a Toys for Tots. We're working with –
Well, it is not for Toys for Tots. Let's be clear.
We're getting toys for Operation Kid Equip that we've done in the past.
Yeah, it's the Urban Benedictine Society.
Right.
Baddest ass monks I've ever met.
Short of Shaolin, yes.
Yes.
No, but these guys dedicated themselves to a life of poverty. There's no overhead going on here. We are not taking – there's no portion of the proceeds. This is all
and
the money.
Literally everything involved in this is a 501c3. So, yes, it's tax deductible.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's all – yeah, if you can't – we'll take – they'll take cash. We won't take cash. But we have links out for everything if you can't
make
it. Yeah,
bring toys if you want to. That's great. Yeah, there's links in the Facebook event and the Meetup event in case you want to donate in advance. The big push for them again this year, like it was last year, you may not know. It only takes $33 a day because, I mean, their big focus is women and children in risky situations. And for $33 a day, you can even pick the day if you would like to sponsor a day in somebody's memory. Make sure that somebody has a safe home for the night. So that's, you know, obviously cash is important. I would love to see us, I don't know, let's try to get an entire year covered. That would be amazing.
It would. And we know it's going to a good, you know, like we hear the stories.
Exactly.
And you can't, you know, he'll tug your heartstrings, man. But
yeah, exactly. Anyway. If you think we're bad, we'll sit you down with him and you'll be breaking out the checkbook in no time.
Right. I don't need my second car. Like, you can have it, Michael. But no, it's a good cause and hope to see it December 7th.
I was going to buy some Battlefront 2 DLC, but here you go.
Right. $2,100 would have unlocked all my crates on Battlefront 2.
It's gambling.
But hey, we are lucky enough to be joined by Justin Koo. He is a professor of analytics for Lawrence Tech University, LTU. Justin, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Good. Have you? Is it culture shock sitting in this room with all of us at one time? Or
Kind of, because it's the first time over here. So, yeah, that kind of overwhelming about the information.
Well, welcome.
We're kind of overwhelming. We are.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true.
Well, what's overwhelming is with the stuff you're teaching. We had a quick conversation. I guess introduce like kind of what your classes are about, and let's dive into some of the more details on that.
Sure. Currently, I'm teaching, for example, database. I'm teaching data analytics. I'm teaching visual analytics. I'm trying to help people how they are going to get the data, and then how they are going to process data, and how they are going to make sense of data, visualize data for people to make decision or to improve the business performance over there. Yep.
So, I mean, the people coming out of your classes, they're going to be data analytics?
I won't say that. I mean, it's just the beginning of a class. I mean, think about that today, people talking about data analytics, right? You need to be good at database, for example. You need to good at R programming and Python programming, and also a variety of skills. And finally, you want to visualize the data for people to gain insight into your data. I mean, think about that, people today, right? And then data is like oyster. If you have 1,000 oysters, it means nothing to people. So finally, you want to get what? Pearls. Only the 3 or 2 important pearls. Try to good at storytelling. I mean, we have been good at teaching the math language, but there's no people teaching us how to tell a good story over there. Yep.
And data keeps getting bigger too, right? So, I mean, basically all these systems that we have, I mean, I think we probably each personally generate terabytes of data a year, right?
Yes.
Or even higher, right? I mean, just browsing online, you're generating data. You're watching TV, you're generating data. You're driving in your car, you're generating data, right?
Yes. So, I mean, they get it a good point. I mean, how you're going to process millions of textual data and video data, audio data, like we are talking over here. How you are going to quickly get answers from here, get a main point from here too.
Well, that's one of the things you talk about with the advent of big data. Who's the biggest consumer of big data in companies? It's marketing departments.
Right.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
The amounts of things that they collect on you. And I can tell because the last 3 days I've gotten more emails than I think I've collectively received in a year.
Oh, my God.
National Unsubscribe Day.
The Cyber Monday emails. Yeah. Yeah. But no, it's true. I mean, I remember, 1997 sitting in Dennis Walsh's office at GM, who was the CTO at the time, and he slammed his big ham fist down on the table and he's like, I've got 12 terabytes of data to work with here. And I looked at him and went, okay, great. What's in it? And nobody in the room knew that answer. And that was 19, that was 20 years ago.
Right.
And I would almost say that's still true.
I mean, look at it today. I mean, if you look at people's shopping behavior, we move from desktop to mobile. Right now, we start talking to our cell phone, right? Siri and the Google phone, Echo. And you think about that, when you're talking over there, you think there's nobody, right? And then actually, when you talk to yourself, your friends, and then suddenly, the Echo recording your conversation. Mm-hmm. You say, I want to attend people's reading. And suddenly, after a few seconds, you receive an email from Google or from...
Or you start seeing Facebook ads, or you start, yeah.
The scary part about it, yeah.
That those stories are happening now almost daily, where someone's like, I never mentioned going to the Bahamas ever. And we talked about it in the garage, and my Facebook, every other sponsored ad was a trip to the
vacation
Bahamas.
Wow. Yeah.
But don't you guys have aliases by now? I mean, alter egos in the digital world.
Dave's got 50. I don't have any.
You know, and I do too. I mean, it started off with, home mail. If it went to Tom Jones, I just threw it out. So things like that.
Yeah, Google's Plus addressing is phenomenal for that. Yeah.
You can start hiding in plain sight, but you have to, redirect some of this information. And so, that's one of the big solutions I always thought it was.
Well, I mean, and to us, like to me, and this is a conversation we've had on here a bunch of times, it's the data mining and analytics that's going on as a result of the breaches. Like to me, it's not, just the Target hack. It's not just the Uber hack. It's not just the Ashley Madison hack. It's that, okay, now you have all these disparate data sources out there that you know somebody is combining. into one master data set, or probably a lot of somebody's are combining into one master data set. And now they know, oh, okay, that email address was tied to that person that had a target credit card that did this. Oh, by the way, they're an Uber user. Yet, da, 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 da. Oh, wait. Oh, they were a driver. Now I have their driver's license number. And oh, found out they're on AshleyMadison.com. What can I do with all that data? That's the scary part to me. It's not always, you know, we think about it in simplistic terms and in sort of the good terms when it comes to, you know, yeah, ads are annoying and predictive behavior with shopping and all that kind of stuff. But there's a dark side to this stuff too.
Yep, agree. I mean, think about that. Why hackers like your Facebook, why they are interested in your social media, because you're famous? Actually, it's not. But how come they are interested in your data? That's because of what? This is about your banking passcode, your information all yep. on your social media. Think about your favorite dog, right?
Oh, you're friends with your mom.
Yes, or how often you use the same password for all your banking and social media mm-hmm. information, right? And finally, if they get one correct, they got rich, possibly, right? So that's one of the reasons people like your social media information.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like all those stupid – drives me nuts. Anytime I see a friend post one of those stupid quiz result things, because all those are for is literally just to mine your data. Nobody cares what kind of cheesecake you are. That's not what that's there for.
Even on Thanksgiving?
Even on Thanksgiving.
Nobody I like pumpkin cheesecake.
Nobody cares what kind of pie you were, Bob.
Michigan Fourberry was my favorite this year.
From?
Eight Ashes.
but no, so I mean, it's, you know, so, okay, well, guess what? Now your friends, you know, you're friends with your mom on Facebook. It mines your friend. That quiz, that back-end system mines your friends list because you gave it permission to. Well, now it sees by the relationships that, oh, that's your mom. Oh, and by the way, your mom joined Facebook and listed her maiden name in her profile like a lot of people do. What's one of the security questions on a banking system? What's your mother's maiden name?
Yeah.
That's why that's there. That's why it drives me nuts when people post that nonsense.
Yeah, agree. I mean, technology can be good or bad one. I mean, think about social media analytics, right? Or social network analytics. And then they could be doing the good ways to sell in and to promote selling or secure, improve your security. However, look at best size of there. If you look at cloud computing today, people can process your information quickly, like a supercomputer over there. I mean, if you don't protect your data properly, and then you probably will endanger for your privacy over there. Yep.
And then you take the credentials that were checked in inadvertently to GitHub and then steal their processing time. Yeah. So now another company is paying for your processing of their mining of their – Yeah, exactly.
Agree. But
exactly.
I think with a lot of this, we're thinking too small. Let's just look at our – in theory, let's just talk completely theoretical aspect about with Facebook and Google with being able to mine data to predict false advertisement to swing a vote. I mean, that's one of the – I'll be honest with you. If that's what happened, I'm really impressed because they work right within the guidelines. They work right within the system and they understood – systems, other people's systems, like a lot of hackers do, better than the people that create mm-hmm. it. So, you know, realization is a lot of these companies, when they come up with a cool thing, they need to sit there and go, now how can it be used for bad?
Yep.
there's almost a more or less aspect of this. If it's for good, there's nothing that's pure good. I like sugar. Too much sugar kills me, maybe.
Diabetes.
Right. But, you know, it's a double-edged sword. It's good and bad.
Yeah, agree. I mean, it's not even that. I mean, look at that previously, right? I mean, data analytics or business analytics can be just simply just descriptive analytics. Just look at the data and look at it, what's patterns over there. But today you are going to deeper. That's called about deep learning. And you try to learn human behavior. You want to get inside the text information, their emotions, their sentiments over there. So they know when you are good at that. Or, for example, the Twitter information, right? And then they want to look at your Twitter patterns. They want to know when you are active, you are inactive over there. So they will get sense of what you are doing. Or you go out and then you try to check in, right? For over your Facebook or anywhere you try to check in. And then they're telling people what? You're not at home. Go to my home to grab me, to store my stuff mm-hmm. over there too.
You talk about sentiment analysis. I saw something this week from Facebook where they're using your sentiment and words in your posts to predict if people can be suicidal or not.
Yeah, it could be the new
AI that they've got rolling, yeah.
Using AI that basically then will dispatch people out there or send you messages or things like that. That's – that's incredible. I mean,
yeah, I've seen the people just trying to just look at your text information, right? They try to guess you are female or male, but your behavior, your shopping behavior over there too, even though they don't know your real gender, but they look at it, the way you use the words over all your phrases, they try to predict. You
well, Gmail does that now with canned responses. There's three canned responses at the bottom of every reply.
Facebook Messenger.
Is there one on Facebook Messenger?
Yeah, the predictability of all the words. Heck, with people with small hands like me, that's a gift.
So, I mean, I guess is that part of what goes in? Like, is that something you touch on in your classes? You know, the whole with great power comes great responsibility part of things.
We talk about different ways. I mean, for example, currently we are analyzing millions of TripAdvisor data. Hotel data, and we try to know the consumer's behavior and then how they read their hotels. For example, the Mrs. person, right? And then the couple person, how they read hotel differently over there. And also try to look at the management or manager's responses, try to tell their response strategies. So we will recommend them the good strategy, how they are going to respond to each post over there and when they need to respond to each post.
Smart.
So how far is machine learning need to go before it's widely acceptable? Is it part of the daily portion of analytics today, or is it there still needs to be the user quotient?
It's a difficult question. I mean, look at before when the first time I learned artificial intelligence, that's probably 20 years ago, right? And then today, because of the power of a computer and cheaper of the internet, so people move everything to the cloud. I mean, look at the cloud. I mean, they are very smart. If you look at Google, Microsoft, or IBM, why they want you to store your data over there? What the purpose of it? They are not just storing your data. They are just earning money from your data. They are doing what? Selling you services. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now they have a bunch of APIs. Hey, would you like to understand your consumer's behavior? Okay, I can offer you a package to analyze it.
Oh, and by the way, when you click that checkbox that says I accept, you're giving us license to use that data.
That's the thing. I was watching Shark Tank last night, and there was an app called Hater, which is a dating app.
H-A-T-R.
No, it's eight spelled right. But it's a dating app for things that you hate. Like, do you hate country music? Yes. And it matches you with people that hate the same stuff you do. But they got all your demographic data. And then obviously people that hate that like something else. So then basically the first question was, how many users do you need to? He goes, it's 500,000 users. You got one point. Can we sell that data to consumer agencies? And you need to be like, the 3 million is like the sweet spot. And now you know everything about them, the demographic data. That stuff's like gold to, you know, because grocery stores, that's why the rewards cards were built. So they got your demographic data. They know what you're buying.
Uh-huh.
Well, let me give you a real scary aspect to that is, you know, my first Hotmail account was in the 90s. Okay.
Big Papa 69. Yeah.
Might have rhymed with rock.
Right.
But what I'm trying to say is I can Google right now, you know, 20 some odd years later, that username, and I see posts that come up. Now, if I had registered, let's say, the Republican Party or the Democratic Party with that email address, whether I believe that now, that information.
You're branded. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yep. I mean, your intelligence gathering is not cloak and dagger anymore. It's a bunch of geeks in a room.
Damn geeks.
Sorry. Not sorry.
Not.
All your data are belong to us.
So, Justin, these skills that you're teaching kids, like if they wanted to go off and be a data scientist, I'm guessing this is a pretty profitable industry to be in, right? A data analyst, data scientist. Like there's probably big money in it, right?
Yeah, agree. I mean, if you look at the consumer behaviors, right? I mean, the final goal is the companies want to get your money. I mean, if you get a deeper understanding of your consumers, and then you'll be rich. I mean, if you look at the artificial intelligence over there, I mean, there are generally two approaches. I mean, you can do your machine learning. If you got enough data, then you can do the machine learning directly. If you don't get, and then you need to have an expert to call the rules, that's called rule-based approach. So it depends how much data you have it. And once you get it, you can do a variety of different analyses. You can do the location analysis. You can do the timeline analysis. So it depends on the type of information you get it. And then you can do different aspects of analysis to see how people like it or they don't like it. Your products. Yep.
Well, I think that's one of the things that a lot of people miss. I mean, that's a good point, is that a lot of it does depend on the data set. I still remember working when I was working at the headquarters for a retail company that is swirling the drain as we speak. And somebody brought in this, it was a shopping cart system that had recommendations engines and all that kind of stuff built into it. And I was like, okay, go ahead and I want you to add a Britney Spears CD, and then I want you to add this massage oil into it and some Kleenex. And then go ahead and check out. And they were like, what? I'm like, just do it. I just want to see how your engine works. Just do it. They're like, all right. And then like, I said, okay, now I want you to go in and I want you to add that Britney Spears CD, that same one, into your cart. And they did. And it's like, oh, hey, people who like Britney Spears like Kleenex and baby oil. I was like, I'm like, you might want to refine. Like, how about we have a minimum data set before you start making recommendations? Right. And, like, the blood drained out of their faces. It was bad.
Oh, you could be a nefarious poet.
And one of the interesting I think of is, guess what? I mean, if people go to the grocery store, right? Typically, the daily and go to grab a pack of diapers. Guess what? They are going to buy together.
Baby beer. Food.
It's beer. Yeah.
No,
beer.
Alcohol. Yeah.
Hey, Mama, stop on your way home and get diapers.
Yeah. All right. Right.
Kid's going to be screaming, I'm getting some beer.
So, but if you don't look at the data over there, the hidden connection over there.
You would never think that. That's hilarious.
You never make a connection over there. Yeah.
There was that story a couple of years ago where it was Target, where the guy starts getting messages saying.
I worked with that guy.
Oh, you
serious? I worked with the data modeler. So I know exactly where you're going with this. It was the guy who had a 16-year-old daughter, and they started getting mailers in the mail about diapers and baby
stuff. Congratulations for your new baby.
Yada, yada, yes. Yada. And like and 2 months later, she was knocked up. And like he went nuts, and there was a whole lawsuit about how like Target, and then it was like, well, basically they mined her social media, and based on her posts and where she was and when she was there and who she was with, that behavior usually leads to you're going to be knocked out.
She was drunk and with Bobby 11 p.m. I knew exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So a lot of Bobby. This, you can make a cool game out of this. So you can go to a store, get two different accounts. Shopper cards.
Right.
Under two different aliases. On one, buy a bunch of crazy stuff, but return it on the other. Right. And see what your mailers are like. It'd be like mailer bingo.
I don't have that much free time, man. Like, you know.
Yes, you do. Stop playing that. I've got two for a day.
I heard the intro.
Justin, so what's the program you're teaching under, if anybody's interested in learning more?
I mean, if you want to look at the data scientists, right? I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, R and Python are two of the most popular languages for you to learn over there. I mean, these are because the R is open source, so you can learn a couple of packed languages, including machine learning package over there. So the other language, if you want to ask me, always follow the big language over there. The other two languages, if you see people interested, they can learn Java and C. I mean, look at currently, Java and C have been there 20 years. They never change. Android, what kind of language? Java. How about iOS? They use Objective-C as well.
Mm-hmm.
So these two languages are never old. I mean, if you look at the data analytics, I mean, those two are popular too. Yep.
Okay,
so, there's all these other things like Hadoop and other big data kind of. Yeah. Are these like good to have, or are these more like driving a Lexus versus driving a Honda? What's the?
Yeah, I mean, the first time I touched Hadoop probably more than 10 years ago. I mean, that time it's very cool. I mean, you got all your computer connected and you have parallel computing, so you can control a lot of data. But today things change. I mean, if you look at it, people move Hadoop into where? Cloud again.
Yep.
Yeah, right. So that's cheaper. And then you get a hassle. You don't need to maintain your server. You don't need to maintain your hardware or software. So you got what you want over there. So I would say there's a trend to move Hadoop into the cloud. Yep.
Hmm. I have a question, if you don't mind. There's some programming language that lends itself better for data analytics, and some that are better for, let's say, web GUI or front end work, and some better for machine back end processor. Mm-hmm. It seems like a lot of companies dictate what programming language that they use. We're either this shop or we're this shop.
We're a Microsoft shop. We're a Java shop.
How do you go back to your boss and sit there, or your manager, your project manager, and go, I see the requirements on this, but we believe that we should go in this direction because it's a better tool for the job. It's like, you know, a hammer or a screwdriver. How do you help overcome that?
I mean, we always look at the size of project. I mean, the certain language is probably good for big project. I mean, if you want to go to Agile, sometimes some language like Python is easier for you to develop it. But the Java is always what is has been developed for 20 years, so you can find the most solution over there. The other thing you want to consider will be your team. I mean, what's your team expertise of there? If majority of people, they know how to use Python, why not just go for Python? It's quite a bit easier. I mean, you want to get your talent off there.
Mm-hmm. Also, a data scientist average salary for the U.S. is $128,000 a year. A senior data scientist average is $149,000 a year. So These are very good skills, and it sounds like you're a great person to teach them.
Yeah. Put those eyeglasses on and learn SQL, boys.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. But, hey, you can learn more if you want to find out what Justin's teaching at ltu.edu. They are the de facto standard in town for IT and engineering degrees. Justin Koo, appreciate the time. Thank you for putting up with our hijinks. Don't make fun of us too much when you go back to the office.
He's giving Matt Roush such a scathing phone call when he
Matt's not there anymore.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he's at ESD. But, hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with the guys from Black Sands. This is the IT and the D show.
And we'll be right back.
IT and the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for hanging out with us. This is episode 224, segment 3 of the one and only IT in the D Show, broadcasting live here. What?
Nothing, you got that right.
I got him all right all night.
For it.
I've got them all right, all night. Don't interrupt me when I'm getting stuff right, because now I'm going to screw it up. Hanging out.
All part of my master plan.
Studio One in Detroit Podcast in Oak Royal, Michigan. Bob the sales guy. That's Dave the Geek. Nuri the F&G's in the house. Randy, I do the Twitters. Walker is sick at home, but he's still filling up the Twitters. Find us online, itinthed.com, because we... Or IT and the D, and you
still aren't.
You're an angry little man.
You're an angry wee little man, aren't you?
We love you.
Hey, we didn't talk about the Career Academy either. We do have our first 100 slots full. We had a great response online.
That escalated quickly.
It really, really did. In fact, we unfortunately could not fit all of the people who did not sign up ahead of time that showed up at the event at DSDT in. There were a few of them that we couldn't fit in. We tried. So we're going to figure that out. But we have already had one person who declined because she found a job someplace else and doesn't think she needs it. So we are going to be working our way through the wait list, and we have a wait list of about 45 people. So, yeah.
And once it starts working, then we ask the state for more money.
Can we have
then,
more, please?
Exactly. And then
and then lather, rinse, repeat, and away we go. But yeah, and then again, it is – wow, it's going to be – is it next Thursday already is the event, the 7th?
Yeah.
Wow, that's next week. Yeah. 7th, falling down. We talked about it. Charity, be there. It's a thing. 5 o'clock till whenever.
Absolutely. But hey, we are joined by the guys from Black Sands. We've got Nathan Paul, Tim Gallagher in the house. How you guys? You guys fit right in this place. I don't think you guys are going to leave.
I'm actually really enjoying myself.
I'm just saying the name of the company sounds like I was worried at first. Like, you guys don't like do contract work like in Iraq and stuff, do you?
It's Blackwater.
The funny thing, I mean, dude sitting here in a vest with a logo on it.
It actually was a South American contract company, the same name. So we use that to our advantage for accounts payable.
It actually really works to our advantage.
So for those that aren't familiar with you guys, I mean, let's give a what do you guys do, and let's dive in deeper in to some of the technologies you guys are using.
Yeah, so basically we provide secure connections to service. Our primary market targets are manufacturing, critical infrastructure. We're getting into some fintech now. And we are a startup. The secure connections to service, some of the unique facets that we bring is we provide this very, very high security point-to-point connection. So the front end of our system is kind of similar to a hardware encryptor. The back end of the system is kind of similar to an SSL VPN.
So that answered all my questions. Yes. That was the first thing. Like, wait a minute, SD-WAN? Is it a VPN? No, it's not. It's point-to-point.
And so it's a rather unique system. And so what our customers really are finding is that – you know, the world is already hyper-connected. We were just talking about this a little bit ago. And it's absolutely crazy. Everything, more and more, the IoT stuff's coming on. Everyone wants to be remote. And then everyone wants to connect, especially in manufacturing, the entire supply chain. So now this whole idea of Industry 4.0.
Because just in time isn't fast enough anymore.
Not even remotely. They want to literally pull data from when you're pulling ore out of the ground all the way to end of life of a vehicle or your iPod or whatever it is that you have out there. They want data across that entire thing. But how do you do that today without losing everything?
Right.
And so what we provide is the ability – we call it freedom actually, the ability to choose who and when and what you're connecting to.
Okay.
And so it's the first truly proactive connectivity security solution in the market. So the way things work today, pretty much everything else in the market is a trust but verify. You connect to them.
Right.
And then you filter out the bad guys using some sort of analytics, some sort of fingerprinting, some sort of rule-based system. We kind of throw it upside down. We figure out who you are first and what you have access to prior to making a connection, starting at layers 3 of the OSI through layer 7. So it's a pretty unique technology that we're bringing, and it's designed to be this global connectivity solution for these systems.
So since you're making all those decisions up front, does that slow things down?
No, because everything's point to point. So instead of us – so you have a lot of these cloud-based solutions out there, like these different cloud-based VPNs. They become the choke point. Even if you got these monster places, and they also become the place of – well, it's a nightmare because my data is somewhere else, right?
Right.
And I don't have control of that anymore. Ours is point to point. So if you're the – Bob the repair guy, it's got to work on some robotic system halfway around the world. We do a point-to-point connection from your laptop to that robotic system without exposing anything else in the entire network. Because remember, most of this manufacturing, hospital systems, anything else, you got to do these huge project teams to come in and VLAN everything off and segment everything because you got all this legacy architecture. Ours is point-to-point on it.
So, I mean, is it essentially like just a huge chained tunnel VPN?
I'll handle that one. Yes, from an aspect of what you're perceiving.
Yeah.
Yes, but you're seeing – it's sort of like don't mind that man behind the curtain. There's so much more that's going on, but we have to relate with. So it sounds like a real high-tech VPN. But the other part's the act of all the directory management, the auditing, the logging.
Yep.
Plus, here's something really weird. We're invisible. When I say that, okay, I know everybody –
I just sat straight up in the room.
I know. And I know.
Shenanigans, I see you. You're right there.
Please, everybody that's screaming right now, give me a moment to explain, okay? And then just – then you can start screaming. So when I say we're invisible, we do it like this. If I'm going to rob a bank, I'm going to case it, meaning I'm going to know everything I can, know the exits and all that. But what happens if you can't find that bank? So what we sit there and say is our edge device is invisible. I could be logged into it behind a NAT and then connected to all these different web pages, web services, if you would, and then you're sniffing the wire and you're seeing the edge device, but you go fingerprint it. And when we say invisible, this is not a marketing term. Our job is to never let two unknown packets leak out.
Strangers in the night.
Oh, by the way, did I say we're clientless?
So if I'm a stranger,
go ahead.
If I'm a stranger on the edge of your network and I in-map, am I going to see this device?
No. You're going to see – now let's not even do the end-map, okay?
All right.
So let's just say I'm going to create a raw socket and actually look at the packets, not have the end-map do its analytics or anything like that.
Right.
But actually look and go, I'm going to count packets. You should never see more than two, a TLS hello. That might leak out, some things like that. But so when we sit there and say – when we sit there and say black, that is the litmus of – legitimate litmus of how we go with our product.
Okay. So now – all right.
The looks on your two guys' faces, Dave and Nuri.
I know.
Bob's like playing Clash of Clans over there.
I'm going to go ahead and let Dave and Nuri handle this one.
Right.
So all right. So now – all right. So now I'm shifting from – chain tunnel VPN to like commercialized Tor with VPN?
No, all you need is a browser.
Well, that's all you need with Tor.
And so if I'm a company, then do I point my routes at it and then it handles
the rest? Basically our edge device, which is part of our what we call separation of power, because hey, listen, everybody has a bad day.
That's not popular in America these days, Keisha.
We started this a while ago. So basically we have a separation of power and they each play their role, but they're made so if you were to own one of the separations, meaning either one of our – what we like to call our authorizers or our edge device or something like that, they
they have their own rules, and the software on them can only compute the functions that they could do. So if you compromise it, you have to compromise sort of everything to be able to own everything. And it's made like that. You know, I'm a history buff, so we sort of modeled it off of our theoretical government essence. But it's easy to sit there and say that. So we have an authorizer. It's a client web page, okay? So you go hit this authorizer and you log into that. And it holds a heartbeat, but it also, before you even – when you go to the URL, even before the data comes to you, meaning the GUI code, we already authenticated you. We already know who you are. You have to provide a PIN number.
A certificate first.
Well, yeah, because we do, you know, two-way TLS authentication, okay, stuff like that. So
it's clientless, but there's still something on the client side.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
So in the local key store of the OS, which is, you know, they work good. Mm-hmm. You just put because we're on our own certificate authority, you put our CA and then you put your client key in there. So even before the sockets are completely, the handshakes are done, we already know who you are and a lot of information on just what we should expect from you.
And so what this does, though, is this is all happening off-prem, okay? So we're able to – we provide this as a service even for very, very, very large companies and other entities, that the edge device is traditionally where all this is happening.
I feel bad for you guys because, like, you sat through an hour and 15 minutes of us, like, just kind of joking and screwing around, and then all of a sudden we got serious on you. Sorry.
But we can talk about pie if you'd like.
Right. We do have to talk about an interview after this.
Ah, yes, yes.
Yeah, so I mean that moving all of that off the edge device now, and us handling that, our job is just to figure out who you are and what you have access to, and then provide the point-to-point instructions how to get there.
Okay.
The edge device is called a receiver then. It's a slave to the system. So it holds nothing.
Hopefully not codenamed Ebron.
No. And it's you know. And it is designed to
look at me making a football joke. That was amazing. I'm so proud.
That's impressive. The entire system, though, is designed to handle instantaneous changes across a global scale. So we can establish new connections in under 5 milliseconds. And so this becomes very, very fast in terms of what we're doing. We don't have to go through
triggering reauthentication or without?
Because each point of it has an authentication on it. Right, right. So we can do this We don't have to have these huge rule sets because our job is to figure out who you are and what you have access to first. So it's very Boolean in many respects. Whereas the more we get out there, the more that there is in terms of the malware and viruses and different – I've got to have these huge libraries. I have this big AI system and I got to do deep packet inspections. When you're doing that, you're already on the network, right? I'm already in the castle doors when I'm doing that.
Right.
In our system, that never happens. In fact, you never see the castle.
Well, I mean, and that's probably – I mean, that's the biggest issue, and we've talked about this. I mean, you know, one of the reasons why all these breaches happen and why all these things happen is that TCP/IP in and of itself as a protocol – was designed to be open and sharing because it was just going to be nerds sharing research papers and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Nobody thought about commerce and all this other stuff that's come along after it. So, no, interesting.
Yeah, and so then what the other big thing that happens in this is that now I get to choose what I'm connecting to. And I think it's come back to our original – the conversation we had just a little bit ago. That ability to choose now in a hyper-connected world is the next stage of freedom. I mean, just think about this, whether it's in my vehicle, whether it's my company, who's getting my data on this, whether it's my home, you know, my dishwasher, am I allowing this to connect? Because right now, there's more and more of these connections happening all the time to my phone and everything else. I don't get to choose as an individual or an entity.
Bob enables them all.
I know, all the time.
Sure, I'll send feedback to Samsung.
Now, I'm wondering if this next thing I'm going to say, I'm going to get the same reaction. But everything that we've talked about right now, interacting with the Black Sand system, was a human to a service.
Right.
Wouldn't it be cool if we had that finite grain of understanding went from service to service, your SAP system talking to that database over there, to that system over there, to be able to have that kind of auditing instead of having one password? Or you go, hey, we use certificates, but one certificate for every device.
One cert to rule them all and in the darkness bind them. Yeah.
So to be able to have that finite grain and – you know, another aspect that from the Black Sands, the name came from the devices are black. And then when you actually are able to see the devices, you're sandboxed into the system.
Gotcha.
Into only
a service, right?
What you can. And when we say a service, so let's say your ERP system is sitting on 443, you know, we will pass that connection and manage that connection to that port. So it's not like a VPN where we're going to sit there and say, we're going to open up all the IPs to the device and then have the device shut stuff down or use your firewall to do that. We actually route everything to that IP in the back end and to the port.
Okay. So then my natural follow-up for that, and this may be outside of the scope of what you do, and that's cool. What do you do if that box – like, do you guys have any analytics on what – like, how do you know if that box gets compromised and now your connection is compromised?
Tell them about the that IBM –
is a good example is you guys remember, was it Superfish or whatever?
I remember.
Yeah, you remember that? So this was quite a while back. We were testing out an early system.
Oh, Silverfish. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Silver. Yeah. We were
what
just
was it called?
Silverfish.
We were just a Silverfish is where they
– it was something, took your, something fish.
They took your SSH connection out and
it made a fake cert right away.
Yeah. Cert on it. Yeah, Silverfish.
And so we had this – one of our guys on our board wanted to try this out, and he wanted to get a new Windows box, and he got a new Lenovo, right? Brand new out of the box, put it on there, and our system just killed it. Bang, bang, just kept shutting it down. We couldn't figure out what was going on. We thought it was broken. You know, we were doing early bug testing. Well, sure enough, we discovered they're – creating a
box was compromised.
A man in the middle.
Yeah,
I mean, that's that whole thing. It was a man in the middle attack, and because we're Boolean, we have to control that. We have the heartbeat. We control everything point to point on that. It doesn't matter. It's a Boolean yes or no. Are you a legitimate entity or not on that? And if you break that encryption on there, you're out.
Bang. Superfish.
Superfish. That's what it was.
Yeah. So another aspect is
you got the quizzical look in your eyes.
No, where I'm going with this is like basically if you were a super paranoid company or a company who gave a shit about your network security, almost nothing would be routable inside your data center, right? It all could go through your device and everything is managed point to point. And then you wouldn't allow anything to talk to anything else ever.
All right.
That is a design possibly, yeah. Right?
No, that's – thank you. Mm-hmm. We're going to now
yes.
use that.
I'm looking for a job. I'm a great sales engineer actually.
How about chief something?
Just kidding. just kidding.
But, you know, yeah, you actually just blew my mind. I forgot what I was going to say.
Really? I did that? Because you had done that to me twice tonight. So
so one of the big advantages that we end up bringing though, and this is the problem of the emerging world, is with the emergence of IoT and it's growing exponentially.
Oh God, yeah.
Are we going to have an exponential growth in IT personnel? Because that's what's going to be required, right? So at some point, we've got to realize that what we're doing right now is no longer going to work. And this is part of it. So that statistically right now, when you bring in, let's take when an enterprise company brings on a new vendor, right? I got a new HVAC system or whatever. I want to give this vendor access because everything has to be remote access control
right.
now, right? Statistically, there's over 10 different systems that have to be modified, of which usually there's at least 1 to 10 IT personnel in each of those systems.
Right.
And it's a full project team that has to develop this with its own budget and usually months to do that. We can bring a brand new vendor on in minutes from nothing and new connections in under 5 milliseconds. And we provide what's also called stakeholder management so that IT has full granular visibility and control over everything on the global network. But the third shift manager in the factory, when robot A goes down, can go to the pre-approved list and drag and drop. Here's the vendor. He's in only now to this machine to get access to that for this time. Oh, I want him out. No, and he's out. Without having to do a help desk ticket and all that, because that's the delay. And if you do this, this is what we run into in manufacturing. We call it the war between operations and IT.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Operations cannot have the line go down and IT cannot have a security breach. And the technology today, kabang, you're in this war. So they're taping cell phones to it and plugging public Wi-Fi in and
gluing
USB stuff ports. Out. And, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We ran one company that had all the USB ports and all the network off of one of these big test devices. So they were supposed to have, you know, terabits of code, you know, or data
right.
out by pen. You know, you're like, what are you going to do?
And I think, too, if you're in manufacturing, you probably have dozens of different vendors in countries who don't give as much of a shit as we do.
Dozens. Knows, almost thousands.
Thousands of countries?
Right. No.
thousands of vendors.
Yes.
I'm like, yeah. I don't think that makes
sense. But I mean, dozen.
I mean, and then who knows? They may be in shared facilities as well.
Right.
Like, I can see all kinds of great applications for this.
Well, and then add legacy, right? So one of the things we do out of the box, too, is the ability to connect to PCs, right? Instead of RDP, we come
right.
in and bring a very, very secure connection to point-to-point. So like if you, and this is true all over the place. Windows XP machine. machines rule the day still in most of the manufacturing environments.
Yeah, even though
hospital,
they're far beyond their end of life.
Exactly.
They're still there, yeah.
Right. So now like that's the problem, right? So I can't open up my network because I have all of this legacy architecture that has critical vulnerabilities. But I still need to get this data. I need to get access. That's where we come in. So we can just give you access to that. It's safer to have you use our system than to have someone walk up on a keyboard and the USB stick or walk in with their laptop jacking into your network.
Now, here's the thing. Okay. So we just told you about two different types of technology interchangeably. One, remote access. Two, being able to be your pass-through for like your ERP system. Well, out of the box, if you put one of our devices, we can manage from a point-to-point connection to all your Windows boxes if you want. Or if you have a web service that you want to expose to the edge, we can also tunnel that. And they're both the same cost.
And all over port 443.
Yes.
So we don't get shut down by things like countries' firewalls.
How many times you've been in done consulting work and you flipped up your laptop, got out the old VPN connection and blocked?
Yeah.
And yeah.
So how many times you go back to the hotel room and work all night?
Pretty much.
Yeah. So okay, now let me – okay, ready for another face? I'm like, I wish we had cameras.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. They're off.
Oh. Well, probably for the best.
And unfortunately, yeah. They're not on us because, well, we have faces for radio.
Right.
Anyways, so let's say your ERP system, you want single sign-on? We actually pass the certificate informations in the HTML header for the back-end application to accept it. So by the time – the request hits the back-end application, the back-end application can already know who's requesting the data.
Without leaving.
So I have to go like SSO, ADFS, any of that stuff.
Oh, by the way, no install because we pass it in the headers for you.
Oh. Yeah.
You don't have to leave your environment to authenticate. It's – we give it to you.
I'm thinking about like remote workers. Like I'm a remote worker. Right. Like holy shit, if I didn't have to VPN every day, like –
also, we put special tags in to those headers so when you do the logging from that device, there's a common key that you can match up with all the logs.
All you Splunk people love this.
So now instead of writing a bunch of parsers, I'm figuring out – oh,
I can't figure out if I'm super intrigued or if I want to call shenanigans.
Oh, call shenanigans. Please. No. And that's – I've come from security. Most of my nefarious ways has not been – to break into companies has been to break out of them. I mean, just so many wonderful stories, but everybody did that. Who hasn't tunneled an SSH tunnel to back home to pull HTML so nobody, web filters?
I wanted to play this old like mud game back in the day and they would not let me tunnel that out on port 4000. So guess what? I SSH tunneled back to my machine and then went out from there. Like, I get it. I've done it.
So that mentality is awesome because that's where we are now. But listen, if your boss would have known, you'd been fired because you broke a lot of rules.
Probably.
What we actually do in that war of IT and OT is sort of give everybody good tools. Stakeholder management. If you're able to allow a Dell technician to touch your server, why can't you give him remote access to it? If you can badge him in, go through security, walk him in there, and not pay attention to a damn thing he's doing while he swaps.
Because he's got a tool belt.
Yes. And the people watching him are always the most astute workers. So
I put my best guys on watch the server guide duty. Right?
Why not just give that same capability to that one localized manager to allow that technician to come in remotely where it's logged, audited, everything. So, and then also for your compliancy aspect or even to make sense out of your logs, I always hate event logs because it's like if I get kicked in the balls, I know what happened. I want to know why.
That's right. I don't need the alert. Yeah.
It's already happened.
I don't need Bob going, you just got knocked them out.
No, it's actually more you may or may not have been kicked in the balls.
Right.
It could be a false positive.
Potential threat detected.
Yeah. It could have been a light graze, which is about the same effect anyway. Right.
So your logs, and we help this. We're sort of force multipliers. We give that unique key. We pass information back to the devices behind us. So when you're going to take all your log feeds, you have a common key to go, this session – I can see it from this device and this device and this device because I have a almost like a database key, if you will.
Right.
now instead of an event, you have a story.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about. Just
a few yeah, days. You've got a UID. Here's their path through the network and everything they've done.
And if I go look at this device's logs, I could use that common key. So think about those kind of queries. Actually, it'd be sort of an easy query. You wouldn't have to.
Bob, sounds like they're trying to put you out of business. I think that's
No, we work together. Yeah. No, we work very close together. Yeah.
No, it fits in. Because we're the force multiplier for what you guys are doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing everything. We're like the old time telephone operators. Click, 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 click. We just do this, you know, hyperspeed, right?
But we don't listen in on the lines.
Right. It's all point to point.
Take so, keyword 359, please.
Contact 55542. Hi, Agnes.
Is this a party line?
So talk to me about this amazing interview you had.
So I was working for a wonderful company. Can I name
Hey, go ahead.
Nobody listens.
Good security company, Newspire Networks, used to run their data analytics for them.
I got friends out there still, actually. Yeah.
No, they're a wonderful company. Good spirit, good guys, good people, and women. Good guys and women. Just want to throw that out there. But so I was being I was major newspaper. Their managers were sort of scared, so – everybody above me was sitting in, CEO, CIO, all my bosses, and this lady was asking, and the topic is why to outsource security. And I said, it's not always a good thing to do, but if your main focus is not security, then don't do it. If my main focus is not being a doctor, I don't do that. So I said to this lady, I go, it's easy. A vasectomy is one centimeter incisions, two snips of the scissors, four knots, and probably about six stitches. It's very simple. But I don't know anybody that's going to do it themselves.
No, I had one, and I would not have done that myself.
And so everybody was just hushed, and they went, and this nice reporter goes, I get it. It seems simple, but there's complications out there, and you don't want to own that risk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thank you for saving my job.
See, that's why I kept trying to bring it down to like chain tunnel, that kind of thing. But yeah.
It's the best worst analogy I've ever heard. Like, you think I'm bad at analogies, but that one like is the best one I've
ever. Pretty accurate, yeah.
Yeah, you're totally.
Bad at segues, Bob. You're bad at segues.
No, I purposely bad at segues.
He's also bad on segues.
Speaking of
or the actual device.
Like, speaking of vasectomies, we're going to end the show tonight.
Speaking of cutting things off.
But any last parting shots before we cut you guys loose?
Like, where do we find you guys, for instance?
So our website is blacksandsinc.com. So you can find us there. We are, as I said, a startup. We've been in development for the last 3.5 years. Just this year, come out and gone, brought our product to market. Won a big award at RSA this year, won some other stuff. And we're actually in the middle of developing all our channel stuff. So our primary work is through channel partners and the like there.
We're on our third release of the actual software. Right. So we've been startup, but you know, this has been a pet project for so many years.
Nice.
Awesome. These are two guys that we need to have back in the studio.
We do. This could be a much longer conversation. I still have so many questions.
And I'm not seeing a thing about his orange Crocs he wore in either.
But well, I was going to say.
We'll be here till 2 in the morning if I keep going.
Can we do it earlier? Because I have an ankle bracelet and this – I'm not allowed to drive during this time.
We are a 501c3. We can sign waivers for you. Yeah.
Can we make this work-related?
I'm cleared for that.
Yeah, volunteer programs. We're all good for those.
But, hey, Nathan Paul, Tim Gallagher from Black Sands, we definitely appreciate the time spent. We will look forward to having you back. This is going to end episode 224 of the one and only IT in the D Show. I'd like to thank Orbi for sponsoring the show, keeping the lights on. We appreciate it. I'd like to thank
netgear.com/Orbi.
Yeah. I'd like to thank Justin Koof from LTU, who's right now is wondering what the hell just happened.
Who he made mad that they made him come here.
He's yelling right now at all the adjunct staff at LTU. That's right. Thanks to Lawrence Tech for sending Justin here. We appreciate the conversation.
That was a great conversation.
Absolutely. And on behalf of myself, Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek, and Nuri the FNG, do us a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run.
Hurrah!
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to. So.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass, go home, unplug, get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now!
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.